Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EspritNet News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is back.
Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
Welcome again to EspritNet News. Thank you for tuning in every week on our show. This is our weekly news wrap-up show. I'm your host, Jerome. And on this program, you know, before I get started, just want to tell you that if this is your first time listening in archives, you can catch us live, 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189 to check out the show. And also, you can always write us at news@soulofsyracuse.com if you want to send in your questions or comments. Now, again, not saying that they're going to not get responses, but, you know, hey, just remember, we'll add your comments onto the show as we get them. Oh, and so I just want to say hi to everyone in the chat as well, and thanks for tuning in. You know, shout out to my girl, Lucy Sanchez Abreu. You know, we always give you news you can use, so I always like to shout out Lucy. And, you know, there are a bunch of birthdays this month. So my brother Loki, just in case you check in on the show, if you're listening, happy birthday to Loki. You know, obviously I missed my mom's birthday, so happy birthday, Mom. And I want to also, you know, just kind of put that out there. Because, no, I know I'm missing a lot of birthdays as I'm going, but, you know, I'll shout them out. I'll make a note of it, and we'll do a big birthday thing. Because, you know, there are a lot of people who are Aries in the world and who are friends of mine who are Aries. So I'll make sure I, you know, mention them. Now, our first story, you know, the number of people seeking unemployment benefits fell to its lowest levels since 1969, this is according to the Associated Press. Now, the weekly applications for jobless aid fell 10,000 to a seasonally adjusted 202,000. That's according to the Labor Department, and that's the lowest since December 6, 1969, is what they said. Now, the number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits is at a 49-year low. Now, okay, and also they're saying that that's indicating that companies are keeping employees despite fears of impending economic slowdown. I don't know what that means exactly, but, yeah, we'll see in time. Now, the median household price in America hit an all-time record high at $300,000 this month. Now, the new peak surpasses the previous record of $299,000 in June and July of 2018. However, the rate of growth is slower than last year, rising at 7% in March compared to 8% in March 2018. So, hey, we're just doing a little bit of economic news. Now, record sea levels rise and devastating floods, storms, heat waves, and wildfires are recorded as climate change impact grows. This is according to a UN report. Now, the World Meteorological Organization's State of the Climate 2018 report details continuing increase in carbon monoxide levels in the atmosphere to new highs amongst other concerns. So, hey, we just keep ringing that bell, but they're telling us we're going to have some problems unless we do something right now. Now, the U.S. government has adapted a breakthrough DNA testing system that will allow border agents to verify the family relationships between migrants coming to the border within 2 hours. So they're rushing this technology over there. Now, I'm not saying it works or it doesn't, but they're saying that if you come with a relative, they're going to test your DNA on the spot to determine if you are relatives with some new technology. Now, for me, I'm thinking they're probably gathering your DNA, but that's just me. That's kind of what my thought is. All right. Now, people with no religion accounted for 23.1% of the U.S. population in 2018. That's to statistically tie with Catholics, who are, 23%, and I guess who's 22.5%? Evangelicals are 22.5%. That's according to a new general social survey. All right, now the largest black-owned bank in America is paying respect to black queens all over the country. Now, One United Bank launched a Queen Visa debit card under its royalty campaign to recognize the women who exude black girl magic. Now, One United Bank introduced the Queen card in March during Women's History Month under the Royalty Pound Wear Your Crown campaign to raise awareness of the bank's of the Pound Bank Black and Pound by Black movement across the nation. Now, in February, just so the guys are not left out, the bank did launch a Black History Month campaign with a King Visa debit card under its royalty campaign as well. They find it important to celebrate the new generation of kings and queens in the country. That was their tagline, not mine. So shout out to One United Bank. Again, it's the largest black-owned bank in the country. Now, speaking of black girl magic, Beyonce's lucrative Ivy Park athletic brand will now fall under the umbrella of Adidas, along with the superstars developing new attire and athletic brand ranging from performance to lifestyle, including shoes and clothing. That's right. Beyonce cut a deal with Adidas. Now, Ivy Park, which is her clothing line, which partnered with Topshop, will undergo a relaunch, and Beyonce will stay at the forefront of the brand and maintain full ownership of the label. So it was a partnership initially, and now when she broke away from them, even though she has a deal with Adidas, she is retaining full ownership of the company. So shout out to her in our Black Girl Magic segment that she's doing. On that note, let's bring in the commish, because, I don't want to go on to my regular news stuff and not really talk about the big moves that Beyonce is making. Okay, so I'll just leave it at that. How are you, commish?
I'm great, Jerome. How excited I am to be on the air with you. Yes.
Oh, no. I don't know where to begin. I was going to say, so much news, so little time. I just don't know where to begin
so
with you.
So little time.
How are you doing?
I'm doing much better. Thank you. Thank
That's
you so
good.
Much. I'm doing much better. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I was hoping all day. I was like, I hope this show was on tonight.
I figured my late notice to you. So that I'm risking not catching you, but then again, you may be sitting out there. Like I said, we missed some of the great, political news stories, so I figure at some point we got to knock them out.
Knock them out the box.
it's got to happen. It's gotta happen. But you're well. You're doing okay.
Yes, I'm doing well. I still have stuff to deal with, but I'm doing well.
Okay, good, good. You know, did you hear the last story about Beyonce's brand? Now, because nobody really kind of covers that, but that is big for her. Like, I know Adidas as a brand are like, you know, second, third tier under Under Armour now, but for her to still own all of her own stuff and to put stuff out like this, it's kind of going under the radar to everybody else's vanity campaigns, because those guys are really doing some business moves here.
Really, really doing some. And, you know, one of the things, too, about Beyonce's Black Girl Magic is a lot of what she does is, I don't want to say necessarily under the radar, but there's so much humility around it. You don't see her doing a lot of interviews. Not Jay, not either, but just around her. She's not doing a whole lot of interviews. She's not bigging up herself a whole lot. Every time she's on something, she's not on 10,000 different shows. She's just making things happen. Even the
right.
way she drops her music, you know, dropping it online, and, you know, the night before, and just, I'm really very impressed and excited about the model that they are, the role model and the model that they are exhibiting for entrepreneurs, for business owners, and for people that just want to make it happen and stay in charge, large and in charge. So, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to Beyonce. I really appreciate her, and you know, really appreciate her and how she does things.
You know, and before that, you know, I talked about One United Bank's launching of their Queen Visa debit card. Now, I want to say this because since they're the largest black-owned bank in the country, that it's interesting to me that they would just take a stance and just own it. See, so even with Beyonce, you know, I would look at, you know, people owning their brand, putting that stuff out. I mean, although anybody can buy it, there is some pride to be said in the fact that they're just doing business and that they're targeting who they're targeting and not really caring. I mean, Jordan Peele took a little heat because he said he was interested in telling black people stories, and people fell out. He was like, what are you talking about? Right? Anytime black people say that they're interested in doing black people stuff, the other folks usually fall out. So shout out to this company, you know, the largest black-owned bank who did that, and Beyonce for doing what she's doing, you know. People are owning it.
Absolutely, unapologetically, the way it should be and the way it has to be, you know.
Yeah.
It has got to be this way, and everyone else can be and everyone else is unapologetic about pushing their ethnicity, their nationality, their brand, and their community, and it's high time, but no one wants us to be able to do that. And, you know, as controversial as this may sound, they should not want us to do it. And I think that they really should not want us to do it because they know how rocking we are. You know, because they feel like, oh, my God, just like it was in slavery, like, oh, man, don't let them get an inch, man, because whatever they get in,
exactly.
They're going to take it over. And they're right.
Go ahead. I'm agreeing with you. J. Edgar Hoover said that's the biggest threat is black unity. And I'm like, y'all are scared of us, boy. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Absolutely.
Man.
That's why the country, listen, that's why these people would rather lose their money, lose their farms, lose their jobs, lose industries, and lose faith in the world.
They don't care. They'll lose their health insurance.
Yes. so that this can let their families go bankrupt, whatever it takes to make sure that people erase in their brains the idea that they had a slamming black president, probably the most effective and definitely the most charismatic president of all the 44.
You know, that is hate right there. I mean, if there is no Wikipedia, encyclopedia, dictionary version of what hate is, that's hate. You can see that. And speaking of that, you know, the FBI director, Chris Wray, says that white supremacy is a persistent, pervasive threat to America's security. So I don't know why this is new, but he said the agency is tackling the threat of white supremacy through the nation's Joint Terrorism Task Force on Domestic Terrorism. See, I'm saying, and even if you look at stories, that shootout from in Texas with the motorcycle gang that, you know, you had people killed and injured, they didn't press any charges. They dropped all charges on 25 people last week. It's like, so let me get this straight. You can have a biker gang have a shootout with police, some people die, and you go, oh, we're not pressing any charges. That's what the problem is.
Yeah, but we're going to rip Jesse, as Chris Rock says, we're going to rip Jesse Smollett to shreds and make him pay for the investigation for no one being killed and no one but himself being injured.
That's
how we're going to do that. And the prosecutor's blood and guts.
Right, they want to go up there to prosecutor too, but we're going to go into that because I have that down here. I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the show, but that is interesting that that's a part of what supremacy is. It's like now you're really upset at him, but out of all the police corruption and, you know, shooting of unarmed black folks in the middle of the street on camera does not make them upset. But Jesse Smollett? No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and actually, you know, speaking of Chicago, well, we'll talk about that later because they have a new mayor. And so Rahm Emanuel gave him 7 days to pay whatever fine that he said that he should pay. And, of course, they refused to do it, but we'll talk about that later. Now, the DOJ gave Alabama 49 days to fix its violent, cruel, unconstitutional prisons after finding inmates were routinely killed, stabbed, or raped. Now, the department released a scathing report Wednesday chronicling inmates' rapes, beatings, and fatal stabbings at the hands of fellow prisoners and a management that failed to protect prisoners. So the Department of Justice is on the state of Alabama. You know, I don't even want to go any farther in that story.
Yeah.
You know, New York State, you know, we could go through everybody's state prisons and talk about how they treat prisoners. Now, Congress passed a resolution to end the U.S. military assistance for Saudi Arabia to their war in Yemen in an unprecedented attempt to curtail Trump's power. Now, the House voted 247 to 175 to send the resolution to the president's desk. I'm sorry, did I say that? To Trump's desk, where he's likely to veto it. Now, the Senate passed a resolution last month with 7 Republicans breaking ranks in supporting the resolution. Now, they're going to have to override his veto on this one, but we're going to see how this goes. All right, now Amazon wants to launch thousands of satellites into space in a race to provide high-speed internet access to underserved areas. That's a nice way to put it.
Uh-huh.
Now, new filings from the e-commerce giant Amazon shows that the company, Next Frontier, is the final frontier as they gear up to launch those thousands of internet-provided satellites into space. I don't think they're going to charge anybody, are they? So they're going to send up satellites to give people internet service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I think Facebook already made this motto. Give somebody something free and then sell all the information you get from them. I think they can monetize
watching
this.
Watching from here to there. Forget about it.
Exactly. They get to track them all over the planet is what they're trying to do. Now, Jeff Bezos and his wife, speaking of Amazon, have settled their divorce. Now, the richest man in the world, I should say in the European world, we don't know who that is really. Jeff, who's 55, will keep 75% of their joint $144 billion Amazon stake, leaving McKinsey, his wife McKinsey, with just a quarter, which represents a 4% stake in the company worth about $35.8 billion. So his 12% stake.
What? Did you say billion?
Yeah, with a B, $35.8 billion. Now, Jeff's 12% stake is now worth about $107.5 billion, which allows him to retain his title as the richest man in the world. He will also take voting control of his ex-wife's remaining shares and has been giving her interest in
inequitable.
Well, it depends. I mean, it was negotiated, so she got the money. And he's retaining her voting rights. Because, you know, you can have shares in the company with no voting shares.
Mm-hmm.
So a part of their settlement is that he retains, she gets the shares, which is money. She can actually sell them. But with her percentage, he retains that as voting rights inside the company, like they were his. She's not getting a part of the company. She's not going to be running day-to-day stuff in the company. She probably didn't want it. If they settled this outside of court, so but his 12% is worth $107.5 billion, and he'll take the voting control of his ex-wife's remaining shares and has given her interest in the Washington Post, which he bought for $250 million in 2013. So and Blue Origin, which is his space travel company, which he is currently invested in. So although he has her voting shares in Amazon, he gave her interest in the Washington Post and in Blue Origin, which is, again, it's like, you know, Tesla's SpaceX, or you know how they have those, their space programs. He gave her that. So that was probably the negotiation of saying, I'll have your voting shares in Amazon, and you get to have stakes in these other companies.
Okay, but when you say that he gave it to her, I was under the impression that it was also hers. Not like he gave it to her. I thought they built these moguls. I thought they built this empire together.
Well, Amazon. Right, and so they jointly own Amazon, I think, and so although she's getting 75%, yeah, she's getting 25%, but he's also giving her, I guess they negotiate a part of other companies that she was invested in. I don't know how that works, but I thought that maybe, I mean, I don't think they had a prenup, but he negotiated. I don't know how that worked to have that many billions of dollars and then buy another company for $250 million and then your wife doesn't have any interest in it.
You know? I don't understand it. Especially if you built an empire together and you know there was another person. I don't get it. You know, I looked at it, and of course, you know, you want to break it down, and how could somebody complain if she's walking away with $35.7 billion?
Well, yeah, that's on the point.
Yeah, but
I don't like when people make arguments like that.
Right. It's like, if there's $100 billion and we just built a daggone thing together, you get 50, I get 50.
Right.
And what I get, you didn't give me. It was mine, too. So if we're splitting it up. And of course, you know, like you said, you're getting stock. There's more than just a dollar figure. I'm just using a dollar figure just to explain the point, really.
Yeah, see.
Now,
the only thing I don't know is that how active she was in Amazon. because, you know, this always goes to a question when you talk about divorce stuff about 50-50. If she was, I don't know if she had another career or she was doing something else or what her background is, or even if she was a stay-at-home mom, I don't know. But if he was inside the company while she worked as an attorney someplace else, it's not that she built the company that she would have interest in running it. You know what I mean? So she probably would want to cash out. She probably would say, give me my stock because I've always had stock in it, but I don't know how the business runs because she's an attorney or she was a doctor. Like, she may have been doing something else. So sometimes when I see that, it's just the controlling interest in running the day-to-day operations. I can't see in a divorce somebody giving you control to run a company that you just have no experience in running. Would kind of be a shot against the shareholders, especially if that company's public. You can't just say, hey, this is my wife or my husband, so since they have X amount of shares, you have to vote at the board meeting who controls the operations of a company. You just don't win that in a lawsuit. So the issue is when he had to give her the shares in the company, he has a controlling number of shares, so she can either vote for somebody else to be CEO or vote for him. So in their divorce settlement, he is retaining her shares as his own, where she actually keeps the shares, but the voting part of the shares actually kind of falls up under him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would think would happen, but hey, I could be wrong. I didn't read through their divorce settlement or to see how they're divvying that up, but I would suspect that she didn't have any interest in running Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just pretty much a board member. So when you have stock in a company, you're just pretty much an investor in the company anyway. So she may not have had any day-to-day operations or any input on the direction of it. Now,
right.
Facebook left hundreds of millions of people's user, hundreds of millions of their users' private data exposed on their public Amazon cloud server. Now, Facebook uses Amazon cloud servers, which is a whole nother story. Now, the data of hundreds of millions of users being stored in plain sight on Amazon's cloud servers, and the data includes names, passwords, and emails, amongst other things. So if you store that stuff in Facebook, change your passwords. That's all I can say to that. Now, Facebook is also under fire after the firm is caught demanding that new users hand over their email passwords in exchange for harvesting their contacts without their consent. Now, that seems kind of weird that they're demanding new users give up their email passwords and able to log in. What'd you say?
They need to shut that down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's new users. So if you didn't already give them to it and you're already on Facebook, they're saying to register. Why would you have to give them another email, like another account email? Isn't Facebook already email? I don't know. They're data harvesting. Facebook has also banned white nationalism and white supremacist posts from its platform. This is recent and what is likely constitutes its most sweeping action against extremist content. That's what they're saying. That's coming from them. But they are saying that they're banning white nationalism and white separatists.
We'll see.
I'm just going to say that for the record. All right. Starting today, the search giant Google is beginning the process of deleting all user content uploaded to Google Plus, you know, to their social media platform, making good on their promise last December to shut down the website. So I never had a Google Plus account, I don't think. Yeah, I don't remember. But they're shutting that down. So if you have one, they're about to delete all of your historical data, which I can't believe that the way Facebook is using people's data. I don't think Google
has it stored somewhere.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They're deleting all user content. Mm-hmm. don't think so. All right, MIT is severing ties with ZTE and the other Chinese company, I can't remember the name, as authorities investigate the Chinese firms for alleged sanction violations. That it and it made the decision after a review of projects that they said posed an elevated risk. Now, ZTE, and I think it's called Huawei, is the they have the telephone company, still one of the best-selling products in the world, but it's because they sell it in China, which has a couple billion people. So they, you know, there are other firms that are banning the use of their devices because they said that it spies on you. Like ours don't, but that's a whole another story. I'm not going to even go there. All right. Now, a Colorado representatives, two of them, are fighting a set, fighting to set a minimum legal age to marry inside the state after a study reveals that 12-year-olds apply for marriage licenses. Now, you would think they would have heard this a long time ago, but a review of marriage license applications filed in the state over the past two decades showed that an alarming number of minor applicants, some who were under the age of 13. The current law is that there is no minimum age required for marriage, and some 15-year-olds are young or younger can get married with approval by both a judge and a parent, while 16-year-olds only need one or the other to approve a wedding. Now, the new bill is expected to take away the option of having a parent's approval for a union for someone under the age of 18. Thus, the judge would have to sign off on it. So the moral of the story is they want to put a law in that a judge has to say that you can get married and not your parents. Something strange about this. I don't know what's going on with Colorado, but anyway, they found a high number of people. This is Colorado. Colorado.
Not Utah, huh? Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty close to Utah, so, you know, I would figure. Yeah. Now, I was going to say, I was going to run a disclaimer saying that this might be stereotypical of Utah or something, but I stayed in Salt Lake City for a couple weeks at some point, and I am telling you, I saw the youngest kids with about four or five kids, like really young couples, like 19, 18-ish, with like kids pushing around strollers in the mall. And I'm thinking, is that their brothers and sisters? But I think they were married. I was like, okay, I got to go. That's how I felt about Utah while I was there. Gotta go. All right. Now, New Mexico is the latest state in the U.S. to decriminalize marijuana. So under the new law, which goes into effect July 1st, anyone caught with less than a half ounce of marijuana for the first time will be subject to a civil citation, a $50 fine. Now, that offense is currently considered a misdemeanor and carries a possible 15 days in jail. That don't sound like you decriminalizing to me. All right, anyone found with larger amounts of marijuana is still subject to a misdemeanor or a felony and jail time depending on the quantity in their possession. So the new law also decriminalizes and reduces the civil penalty for possession of drug paraphernalia of any kind to $50 with a citation. That's according to the Drug Policy Alliance. It's a national nonprofit that advocates for drug law reform. Now, New Mexico is the first state in the United States to decriminalize possession of drug paraphernalia. Okay, let me get this straight because I'm kind of missing something. If you can still get a misdemeanor with your fine, isn't that criminal? Like on your record, you still receive the misdemeanor. Yeah, so you're not decriminalizing if you're going to get a citation.
No. Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. So it seems like either a bad written story or just that they're trying to give the impression that they're not going to arrest you. But you can arrest people for misdemeanors. Thanks, Bill Clinton, in your crime bill, with Newt Gingrich in the 90s. Because you
they
used to.
They just need to give up the ghost on this one.
Just give it up. They're trying to get a pat on the back. It's still crib. You're still gonna be treated like a criminal if you have marijuana. Don't go to New Mexico thinking it's Colorado, because you can't get a fine and a misdemeanor, and possibly 15 days in jail.
You see?
Okay.
And the thing that bothers me about it is the way that it will be executed. You know, It's always objective or subjective.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. You know, wait a minute. I actually said that wrong. It is currently that they consider a misdemeanor and carries a possible 15 days in jail. They're changing that to a $50 fine, so you won't get both.
I thought
you got the $50 fine and possible 15 days in jail, because that didn't seem like decriminalized. So you just get the fine.
They gotta find a way to get money off. That's a given.
Now, you know, in New Jersey, they said that New Jersey is stopping training police dogs to sniff out weed because the state is preparing to become the 11th state to legalize recreational marijuana. That's according to their attorney general. That's what he said on Wednesday, that the pending proposal to legalize recreational marijuana led the police to stop training dogs to detect the odor of burnt cannabis. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know how you unknow what weed smells like, but that's a whole other thing. I don't train dogs, so I don't know. All right. Now, the last victim of the transatlantic slave trade is discovered, according to a new some new findings that came out. I guess her name was what they're calling Rishodi, I guess. She was kidnapped from West Africa and sold as a child bride at the age of 12 before dying on the same plantation in 1937. Now, they said that she was abducted from her home in modern-day Benin at the age of 12 in 1860. And she was sold as a child bride and forced to work as a slave in Alabama until her death in 1937. Can you say reparations?
Reparations.
Because if you can identify that, somebody need to be held accountable.
Right. Oh yeah.
I'm just gonna put that out there. Reparations.
Reparations.
All right. Now, Now back in 2017, Wayne Welch, who's assistant police chief of Etherwood in Louisiana, he shared a meme depicting a white mother forcing a blonde girl's head underwater in a bathtub with the caption reading, "When your daughter's first crush is a little N-word boy." Now, he was suspended from his job after sharing it. He later apologized and resigned. But when a spot opened for police chief opened up a year later, he became an intern for 9 months before running unemployed last November. And now he's the police chief.
Oh my
now,
God.
In
what,
that
what
town.
I didn't get it. When your blonde daughter does what?
When your daughter's first crush is a little N-word boy. And it has a picture of a woman sitting in a bath with the child in the bathtub holding this kid's head underwater.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's now the police chief. Okay. So 95% of Oregon's, the state of Oregon, anti-vaxxers watched an online video and printed out their own exemption certificate from the state government's website. Now, they said of the 31,500 non-medical vaccine exemptions filed in Oregon in 2018, 30,000 were from parents who watched the online video and printed their own certificate of completion. I don't see anything wrong with that news story, by the way. If they watched the video and then did what it said, I don't see the big deal. That's just me.
Maybe the measles outbreak might have something to do with why they're reporting that story now. Don't you say that?
Well, that's true. That's true. It could be it's the outbreak of something else. But I'm just saying, like, it's weird to say that this many people got the forms off of the government's website. It's like, of course they did. Isn't that where you go get the form from? I'm saying I don't know why that part's the news story. I understand why you would talk about it, but the news story is about the fact that 30,000 of the 31,000 who have the exemption watched the one specific video. That's what the story is generally about. All right. South Korea launches the world's first commercial 5G network that can download entire movies in less than a second. So South Korea will become the first country to commercially launch its fifth-generation services, as 5G, as it rolls out with the latest wireless technology with Samsung 5G-enabled Galaxy S10. Now, I don't have an iPhone or a Galaxy, so that story might mean something to somebody. So just thought I'd share. All right, so here's a story that I figured that we were going to talk about, and it is a Jussie Smollett, because the city of Chicago says that Jussie Smollett has refused to pay more than $130,000 to reimburse cost of investigations of what authorities say was a staged attack against them. Now, the city's law department says in a statement today that it would be drafting a lawsuit in response and would sue the Empire actor in Cook County Civil Court. The city will file a suit in the near future, is what they're saying. Now, again, they just had an election, got a new mayor, so Manuel is gone. But I think she's even saying, the new mayor is saying that she's openly gay and she's black, is saying that they're going to follow up on this inquiry. All right, what do you think about this, Kathleen? Because I'm...
Wait, what?
Yeah. So
what?
They are preparing to sue him.
Lightfoot or whatever her name is?
Yeah, Lightfoot. Yes. I can't believe that she would actually do that. So I'm thinking that they didn't do, she won in a landslide against the person she was running against. But I'm thinking, can we still not get any justice? While she was there, could she at least make the police admit that they actually killed somebody and got away with it? Can she work that out? I'm not understanding.
There is something I'm not... Just my feeling, watching her for only a few moments, I didn't get an overwhelming sense of compassion from her about even what she said she stood for with regard to the getting rid of the corruption in public office in Chicago. And I'm wondering, well, whose pick was she? Because we know with the Democratic Party in particular, there is a machine. And you pretty much, you have to sell your soul or kiss the ring or whatever it is to have the machine back you. And I don't know if the machine backed her or not, but this is what it felt like when I was watching her. There was no smile. There was no compassion. There was no nothing. Other than, I was a prosecutor or I was a this or whatever it was she was. And, you know, the goal is to blah, 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 blah. And I think Rachel, I think it was, she was on Rachel's show. And Rachel said, well, how does it feel to be the, you know, have you thought about what it means to be the first openly gay African-American mayor of this particular town and, you know, maybe in the country? And she said, well, I prefer to focus more on how we do such a legal care.
How we what?
You know, whatever. that's why I just like, blah, 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 blah. Because at that point, it was like, what? You can't even answer that question?
Yeah.
This is okay.
Yeah, even when I saw her, I kept thinking, you know, and I've heard her speak a little bit, but I'm like, there's something strange. I don't know. There's something strange. I don't want to judge her because I haven't seen her or paid any attention, but something didn't seem quite right. But whoever she was running against, they really rejected. And I think she probably didn't expect to win. And the person who they were running against, the people just was rejecting that person so badly that they didn't care who became mayor, and I think she became mayor. The runoff was between two black females, but I don't know. And now she was a former prosecutor, and I can't remember who the other person was, like what her background was.
I don't know.
But apparently, yeah. I was going to say, apparently she was more palatable.
This one?
Yeah. Well, she won in the landslide. The one that won by about 75% of the vote.
Right.
I mean,
and
it was
that's
bad.
That's why I'm saying, I'm wondering who backed her. And I know it was 75% of the vote, but how much of the vote, how much, you know, how many people voted?
That's
always interesting to me.
Right, because it
was
a runoff. Mm-hmm.
Because it was a runoff, it was two black women. One of them would win, and if you had the machine backing you, then at least
mm-hmm.
you had the, you know, the name recognition, the this, the that, the other. And so I don't
mm-hmm.
know, because I know how things go here, and pretty much the person who is backed by the Democratic machine is usually the one that's going to win.
Yeah. You know, I keep thinking, you know, New York State has changed their primaries for July now. And I keep thinking, you know how England does it, right? They'll call an election, like they can call them on the fly, and they'll be like, we're voting next Tuesday. Like they don't give you like time to do jack, right? I don't know why we when you talk about runoffs and them scheduling, they schedule, I think we schedule elections too far off. Or, like, when you have people jumping into political races 2 years in advance, it's like, what is all of that? Matter of fact, speaking of that, it reminds me of the Biden story, which I wasn't going to do. But it reminds me of people talking about Biden and the Bernie Sanders supporter who came out first. Who said, oh, Biden made me feel uncomfortable, which it wasn't sexual harassment. He didn't sexually assault me. He didn't do any of that stuff. But I just felt uncomfortable with him putting his hands on my shoulder. And then he smelled my hair. And I'm like, how do you know he smelled your hair and you were standing behind him? Whole nother story. But this whole sabotage thing that happens when you run for a political office in this country is so crazy that the more time you spend running, the more people get petty. I mean, I think I'm all good with finding out information on people, but I think that we start going like, you know, he didn't cut his nails when he shook my hand, so I'm having a problem. And then I get to go on TV and say that. It just seems weird.
Yeah.
Sorry for the weird story.
He was a little creepy, but I just did not I was like, okay, he smelled your hair. He put his hand on your shoulder. You're coming out straight up and saying, yeah, it wasn't this, it wasn't that, but it was just inappropriate. And so this kind of stuff is what I think totally pulls the rug out from under all of the arguing that I did with all of the men who said all the stupid stuff about saying, well, I don't want to look at people cross-eyed because then a woman will say such and such because I feel like this is what you're
saying. Right.
I'm like, oh, man, dang on it. You know,
right,
it's just ridiculous. If he smells your hair, move. You know what I mean?
just moved. The thing that bothered me most was when he was holding the little girl's shoulders.
I didn't like that.
That was a little creaky. And, you know, the
right.
other
From
women, I was just like, take a step to the left. It wasn't like they were working for him or whatever. I felt like if I moved, I'd lose my job, and I didn't want to say anything, and all of a sudden, because he's a
right. And it's not like you could have just walked away. You know what I mean? Like, in that case, you're not being held by anything. So, and plus, again, he didn't touch you in an inappropriate place either, right? So he had to stand on his shoulders, which you shouldn't touch anybody, kind of thing, right? But I mean, all right. So I don't know a good way of putting this for myself, but I'm an affectionate person, so I'll see people and I'll hug them, but I don't touch everybody. So I don't want to get the impression that anybody who comes past me, I'm going to go hug them. But it's weird to, I mean, because I know that there are people who are like that. And, you know, we've all experienced that. Somebody comes to hug you and you're like, okay, first of all, you're hugging me a little too long. And secondly, I don't know you like that. But I never thought, let me just bring up some charges against them, or let me make a case out of it. I just think that there are people who are, yeah, I just think that there are people who are like that. You know, and especially, you know, I shouldn't say especially as a guy or a girl or, you know, male or female. I don't think that matters, because I know that there are plenty of women who are like that. And I'm like, okay, stop holding. I don't know you to be holding my hand now. back off me. You know what I mean? I can always remember that. But I never felt any kind of way about it. But I know that there are people who are just touchy-feely folks. And again, it's not a Me Too movement issue. It's just kind of weird that this is making, this is making news. This is, on TV. So anyway,
and nobody asked her, what was your point? You know, respectfully. To come out of all this? So what are you trying to suggest, that he shouldn't be vice president because he smelled your hair? He shouldn't be president because he smelled your hair? But it was okay for
right.
him to be vice president. You didn't have anything to say about him being vice president. But now that he's running for president, you think we should know that he smelled your hair.
Right. And the thing that's worse for me is that everybody's putting her on news shows like this is news. Like they're literally, like, whether it's, you know, MSNBC, Rachel's show, or Meet the Press, like they're really booking this woman to sit there and say, oh yeah, I just felt kind of weirded out, and I think he owes me an apology. It's like, what? So I think Joe Biden handled it well, but people like Christine Gillibrand and those guys, they're going to just roll on them. If you rolled on Al Franken for taking a picture, not touching somebody, but standing in front of them, you know how this is, it's childish and it's petty and it's very adolescent for little boys. But sometimes little boys will do, like, they can be standing 40 feet away from you and take a picture like they have their hand on your butt, you know, because the angle of the camera and you. Al Franken did that to that woman, right? So he acted like he had her hand over his chest, but he didn't touch her, and he wasn't near her. Yes, that was inappropriate and childish, but he didn't sexually assault that woman. And so right. when people are like, he needs to resign and apologize to her, and it's like, and for her to even say, you know, I felt some kind of way about that happening, it's like, you were asleep. He didn't touch you. I'm saying, though, she was asleep, and he didn't touch her. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. You might want to cut. Since Kai's not on today, y'all, you know, can't jump on me about that. But it just seems weird. Not that I've ever done anything like that. I am just saying that that's childish, and little boys do really stupid stuff. But he really just didn't touch her. So he should have been able to apologize.
Did she bring a lawsuit against him for that?
No, but that started off the whole, I felt that Al Franken was inappropriate, and he should apologize.
No, I understand,
he's resigned.
I guess the point that I'm getting to is there, you know, the Me Too movement really is about inappropriate sexual behavior of men towards women and abusing authority and all kinds of, you know, really inappropriate stuff, sexual harassment, all of that. Now, that photo with Franken, especially if he's passing it around and so forth, I believe that's a form of sexual harassment.
If he was passing a photo around, and he was, you know, because you can make comments on it. It does show her in a bad light, and it can make her feel some kind of way about being put in a bad light. You should never do that to anybody.
Right.
But him resigning over it, that's a whole nother thing. I don't believe that he should have resigned over it. I mean, I don't think he wasn't senator then. He was just he's a comedian. You know, whether it's Robin Williams or whatever, they do stupid stuff. You know, stand next to somebody acting like they're sticking their tongue in their ear, that kind of stuff. Like, and take pictures like that. And so when you see that, you go, okay, that's in bad taste and that's crazy. But now that you've grown up and now that you have a job, you shouldn't go back and look at that picture and be like, hey, you took that picture 10 years ago? I'm going to have to fire you for that. I think that part is wrong. If he did that as a senator, yeah, he should resign. But you're talking about the time like he was on Saturday Night Live kind of stuff. Like, Saturday Night Live is inappropriate. Like, it just is.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, they are. But yes, but I think where it gets sticky, though, is I felt like Brett Kavanaugh should definitely have never been appointed to the court.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, never should have been appointed to the court. And so I bring that up just really more so for the time frame, because if we're saying, okay, well, he wasn't a senator, he was a comedian at the time, and he was doing X. So I feel like the time frame is not necessarily as important to me as what the act was and what you're being accused of. You know, and also with Kavanaugh, they didn't do, and I didn't even think they did this with Franken either. They didn't do any kind of a real investigation. They just said, okay, picture, done. So I don't even know whether or not he passed it around or she found it or what, you know, I don't know what those circumstances were or what their relationship was before, after, whatever. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But with Kavanaugh, I just felt like, no, absolutely, get him. Get out of here with that. No, get him out.
Her situation was sexual assault, and she went to therapy. Like, she was clearly, like, was clearly an assault situation. Like, so going backwards on somebody who assaulted somebody, that's very different than somebody who did something in bad taste. You know?
Yeah.
That was my kind of take on it. It was something in bad taste more than something that you should have gone to jail for.
Got it.
Now, I'm not even saying been arrested for. I'm saying you should have done time for that. I can't really call it.
Yeah, no crime and
it was just in bad taste.
No investigation even. And no crime. And for Kavanaugh, they wouldn't even allow it to go to an investigation.
Right.
They wouldn't speak to all the women.
But Kavanaugh had much baggage. They stopped. You know, it's kind of our collective memory, too, when we go through stuff. I think people are going to forget the fact that Congress stopped the investigation on Kavanaugh. Because the Republicans were in control. Like, they stopped all of that.
Al Franken
said, But in Al Franken's case, he said, yes, I will voluntarily go through the ethics committee. You can investigate this. And then Gillibrand and all those nuts were like, no, we need you to resign. And I'm like, he is going to go through the investigation. You didn't even go through one on him. They stopped the other one, you know, for Kavanaugh, and he still resigned. And so even if he decides to run now, they're like, he should never decide to run. And I'm thinking, yeah, he should. You let the people decide who they want. Yeah,
yeah,
don't let the people decide. All right. Now, since we're already at the top of the hour, we're going to it's time to ask you, what stories have I missed? Because I know we can go on probably for days for all the stories that I actually really did miss. But
yeah,
is there something in particular?
So there's a bunch, but the
okay.
two things I want, that one I want to talk about and another one I want to shout out. Three I want to talk about. Maybe next week we can talk about Omari Hardwick and how he kissed Beyonce, because I didn't get a chance to research that. But I
okay.
But anyway.
I recently saw that. That's why I'm laughing, because I actually saw like the clip of that where people were just going, losing their mind. But go ahead. We'll talk about
that. And, you know, 75% of the women, probably, if not 90%. And if you catch people anonymously, it might be 99. We're like, could you call him and have him do that to me? That's what they were saying on the radio. I was like, no, he could kiss me like that any day. Any day, come on over.
Here's the problem with the Joe Biden. He ain't kiss nobody like that, but I'm just saying. So Omari Hardwick, he goes ahead and does that, and then everybody's like, you know what? That's different.
I know it ain't fair.
When Beyonce
nope,
go on TV,
well,
just say,
fair,
I felt uncomfortable.
And you know what? This is so politically incorrect, right? You know, people. If somebody wanted to step in saying, you know, yeah, I really felt uncomfortable when Omari Hardwick gave me a kiss on the cheek, and people would be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'll get thrown out on your collective high horse. Like, whatever.
It's so terrible, right? Because it's like, so what about, what are you trying to say? Like, handsome men can't abuse? Of course they can.
Exactly.
So,
of course. Yeah.
Of course
they
can. So don't, if you have any letters, send them to Jerome, because we know
send them to Jerome.
Don't send them.
Yeah.
Don't send them to
my shredder has been underused. So please send your letters to me, because I don't really use it as much as I should. And it's really nice. It's one of the cross-cut ones.
Oh, my God.
That was the silly thing
I want to talk about. But the other thing, and I really want us to be able to chop this up next week, because I really want to know, okay, we got to start a movement on this one. So the Democratic Party created a policy that forbids consultants, strategists, and others from working with anyone who is not an incumbent. So, in other words, if you cannot come and work with an Alicia Cortez or anyone who's coming in and is not part of the DCC, it is. If you're a strategist, consultant, and so on and so forth, and it's like, okay, so they really want to lock this down for the old boys network. Now that all these women were voted in, they're going to tell you is you cannot, as a policy, you can't help somebody who's not already in. This has got to go. No.
Yeah.
It's got to go. And I don't know who's responsible for it, but it is it. I haven't marched, but on this one, no.
Yeah, I don't know what they were going for on any of this stuff, but it just seems stupid. And it seems like even being new, you would be like, okay, that don't make sense. Because if you're not an incumbent, then you can't get professional help from nobody.
Right.
That's stupid.
But, I mean, it's just that it's stupid. They're trying to do a lockdown. And I can't even imagine.
The Democratic Party always does this. They've always done this. I'm telling you, people forget that they were trying to lock President Obama out of that race. They were like, Clinton's here. You know, you had Claiborne and all of them was like, well, he young and blah, blah, blah. And they just tried to, the old boy network, like that whole machine on the Democratic side was like, no, you ain't getting in this. And he beat them on the ground. But they really locked them out.
And so now they're saying that can't happen.
Yeah, they're saying
they're
that you have to have.
From happening. Yeah.
Yeah. They want to be able to be kingmaker, which is on the other side of this. Republicans don't care. They're like, if you got the money to get him, feel free. Right? I don't think that this is going to fly for long because technically, you know, you can. Just like Bernie Sanders, he's not even a doggone Democrat running a Democratic primary. You know? So you can't say to actually help Bernie Sanders, now you have to be a Democrat because he's in a Democratic primary. Like, I don't think it's going to be able to fly because it's going to be hard to enforce one way or another anyway. Because you can easily call a consultant or you can do what the Republicans do as consultants. Like, they will start using political PAC money to start paying consultants so that they're not on their payroll. They're encouraging people to skirt around what they're doing. They're like, identify yourself, you know. But, just hire them through another means and make a different political contribution. It's just like saying, you know, if Vice President Biden jumps in the race or when he does, will he make the same pledge of not taking political action committee money? It's like, he shouldn't. He shouldn't make that pledge. He's been there too long. Right?
Yeah.
So if you don't know who he is by now, technically he's not going to change and try to be like, you know, all the other folks who are like, we're not going to take any of their money anymore. He don't have to do that. And so I wouldn't advise him to do that anyway. He needs a better strategist too, by the way, because he needs to be able to explain this. So when people say, how come he's taking political action committee money, and he can easily say, well, the fact is that I've been here a long time, and I've worked on for different interests, but I never lost the interest of the American people. I have grown as a politician from spending 8 years in the White House as vice president, and he needs to move from that place forward and stop going too far back in his conversation. They're going to try to keep taking them there, and he needs to bring them forward. Yep, that's when I was that guy. But now I'm this guy, and he needs to stay there.
Yeah. You know. And the thing was, you know, the whole shenanigan with Stacey Abrams as well. I didn't understand what was happening with that either. So, and then she, with her statement, when she came out, you should never run for number two. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here?
They were putting her on the spot, is what the problem was, right? She handles this stuff really well, but in asking her, you know, what do you think about being vice president? It's like saying, what do you think about sitting on the bench of a championship team? Like everybody wants to be on a championship team, but nobody wants to sit the bench. Right, so you're just putting her out there, but in her response, like she said that in Georgia, she not only got more white voters to vote for her as a Democrat than any Democratic governor, anybody running for governor on the Democratic Party in the last generation. So in the last 20, 25 years, out of all Democrats running in Georgia, she got more white people to vote for her than they did. So people don't see how amazing that number is. But yeah, she got black people to come out and vote in record numbers, but she still got more white people to vote for her as a Democrat than white folks normally vote for a Democrat. Stacey Abrams is her and Andrew Gillum abominations to that system. So the Democrats don't like it, by the way. You think the Republicans don't like it, the Democrats don't. Because if you watch what they're doing to that Beto O'Rourke guy, and it's like he's the second coming of JFK, and it's like he is a conservative Democrat in Texas. Of course he was going to do well against Ted Cruz, but just because he can speak Spanish don't mean that dude ain't racist either, right? So they're like, well, he can relate to, you know, poor people and their problems. I'm like, he is just another white man to me. Stacey Abrams and Andrew Gillum did better than he did.
Yeah.
They raised more money than he did, and they had more rural white folks voting for them than he did. But he is the one that the Democratic Party is pushing.
They want to push, yeah.
So you don't hear nobody talking about Andrew Gillum. You don't hear anybody talk about Andrew Gillum or Stacey Abrams until the Biden people mention Stacey Abrams. But she is a doggone, what do you call it? She's a prop. That's the only reason they're talking to her, because she's a prop.
A prop? What do you mean?
Well, they're saying that to get young people or black women, because black women by percentage, the biggest voting bloc in the Democratic Party, and they always vote Democrat, and they vote at higher numbers than everybody else. So since you have to go through South Carolina and all these other places, California, they're saying, Stacey, you need a black person with you. So they were like, you're thinking about getting Stacey Abrams. Although she said, you know, Biden didn't talk to her about that. They were floating that because they needed to make the old white man look young and diverse. But how diverse does Joe Biden have to look when he was with Obama? He's good.
I don't know.
No. I'm saying he's already good. He's good. You know, black people will be okay with Joe Biden. Right. Well,
yes,
I'm saying,
I think so too. But I still feel like he needs some diversity, because it's for me. He definitely does. He needs some diversity because he even his teeth look whiter than they used to. He just looks very white. He's white.
That's a lot of white. I'm just gonna go for the record to tell you that is a lot of white. So you're right.
Yeah, and he still needs to come up from behind. He was with Obama, right? So, but okay, that's another show. That's another show. Okay, so that's the policy thing. I did want to talk about the baller contract, the guy, the son erasing his tattoo and leaving the contract. I wanted to talk about that. Maybe we can get back to that next week. But I definitely wanted to talk about us. And I wanted to talk about shout out to Jordan Peele with Us. I did not see the movie yet. You know, I've been under the radar for the movie theaters. I got a lot of mixed reviews about it. A lot of people are like, ew, it was horrible. And others are, it was the best thing since Get Out. But definitely, I want to see Best of Enemies with my girl Taraji P. Cookie. I could do that all myself, Henderson. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she came out and said that Smollett's going to be, he's still going to be on the cast of Empire, is what she said.
Well, I hope he is. You know,
yeah.
I still don't know what happened. I did laugh hysterically at Chris Rock when he said, "What the hell was he thinking?"
Like I said, I don't think people using their critical thinking skills. I think it's very telling that.
I know.
Yeah, I think it's very telling that the judge told the police department to get rid of all of the evidence and take it out of the and they took it all out of the system. I think that's very telling. They were framing Jesse Smollett, I guarantee you. It was not.
And the judge will not go along. And I don't know who the judge was, right? Because they're coming after this prosecutor like she acted alone, like she was judge, jury, and defendant. You know,
She didn't do it, and the defense didn't ask them to do that. It was the judge that said, if anybody on the police department leaks any of this information, she threatened them, and then she told them to not release any information and to delete it. The judge did. I don't know if it was a he or she, but the judge told them to get rid of that information, and they deleted it out of the system. So I don't know why they're running around acting like he's guilty when they shouldn't even have that information available, and they've already technically are under a gag order to tell them not to even talk about it. Because, again, I think he was getting set up, and the judge saw it a mile away and threw it out, accepted the plea and threw it out. Because it wasn't a plea. It was no admission of guilt either.
But no admission of guilt, but they're trying to make the $10,000 an admission of guilt. That's what they're trying to do.
Right, right.
You know, so maybe
you know,
he wasn't squeaky clean in this, but certainly whatever was going on, it was very shady. I don't get it.
Yeah, but I guarantee this. I guarantee his description about who did that was off. That doesn't mean that under trauma that he didn't just see it wrong. Admission of guilt,
getting
details wrong opposed to something happening, it's like being in a car accident and you say, you know, the car was probably driving about 40 miles an hour. And then they're like, nope, the car was driving at 45 miles an hour. So now I'm going to throw all your stuff out and I'm going to arrest you for, you know what I mean? Like you hit
and
the details probably
the
were wrong. Yeah, now you got to pay for the investigation. Yeah.
That is a really dangerous precedent to set. He needs to go somewhere with that.
Yeah, I think that's going to get thrown out because then technically any investigation that you do, when you lose, then technically you can go back and sue them for police time. I don't think that's going to fly. That's your job to investigate. That's not my job to tell you how much resources to put on an investigation.
Right.
So I can't, you know what I mean? So there's going to be nothing that they can do about that. Anyway, because they voluntarily.
They voluntarily what?
I was going to say they voluntarily asked them to pay $130,000. And how do they know what time people logged in for any investigation? They had to work anyway. They was going to be there whether they had an investigation or not.
They had to work
anyway.
So now they did.
Yeah.
And how do we know that it was really $130,000? Sound like a number he just made up.
Exactly. It wasn't $135,050.
Exactly. You know, the IRS would be like, can we see them
speak? Can I see your time clocks and your logs on that? He's like, damn,
yeah,
this is right at exactly at 1:30. He's like, stop. Like,
and we're not paying for donuts and coffee. How about that?
Exactly. There'll be no lunch break and no any coffee breaks on that.
And all no right. hotel rooms either. Why did you work at your car?
Oh, because you know those were in there. On that note, all right. We will check in again next week. Check out some more news. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, so we'll definitely
be
back next week. Right.
But
on that note,
Taraji's movie this weekend, Best of Enemies. It's supposed to be fantastic. And shout out to Al Sharpton and National Action Network annual convention. If you didn't go tonight, you still have tomorrow,
Okay. All right. And I have to check out Us too, so I still haven't checked that movie out yet, but you know, I'm not good on scary movies. Okay. All right, let me know how that works.
All right. We'll do.
All right, see you next week. All right.
See you next week, bro. All right, bye-bye.
Okay.